to reading, Anna?
Thank you. Before I go to the reading of the scripture, I just want to acknowledge that today is National Pastor Appreciation Day. So I just want to just tell Aki how much Aki and how much we appreciate them and keep up the marriage. We love them so much. So. The scripture reading is John chapter 8, verses 12 through 16. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me."
ヨハネによる福音書8章12節から16節を読みします。イエスはまた彼らに語って言われた。私は世の光です。私に従う者は決して闇の中を歩むことがなく、命の光を持つのです。そこでパリサイ人はイエスに言った。あなたは自分のことを自分で証言しています。だからあなたの証言は真実ではありません。イエスは答えて彼らに言われた。もしこの私が自分のことを証言するなら、その証言は真実です。私は私がどこから来たか、またどこへ行くかを知っているからです。しかしあなた方は私がどこから来たのか、またどこへ行くのか知りません。あなた方は肉によって裁きます。私は誰をも裁きません。しかしもし私が裁くなら、その裁きは正しいのです。なぜなら私一人ではなく、私と私を使わした方とが裁くのでだからです。
Good morning, everyone. It's National Pastor's Day, so you guys have to say good morning a little louder than that today. Just kidding. Good morning. Oh, I feel loved. Oh. Anna, thank you. I didn't even know that was a thing. Okay. Before we get into the message, a little housekeeping. I just want to thank Juna again for announcing Operation Christmas Child with Samaritan's Purse. We don't have the instructions quite yet. It'll be coming in hopefully sometime this week. And when it comes in, we'll have it for you guys, so you guys know what to put in the boxes, what not to put in, and all the details are in these instruction kinds of things that we don't have. But thank you, Juna. Juna actually texted me asking if we're going to do it, and I said, "Sure, if you want to do it." She's like, "Yeah," and so she took the reins on doing it. So thank you, Juna. You're awesome. We normally don't take questions, but Barb, go ahead.
Before we get into scripture, it's very heavy on my heart, and I think we need to pray.
Sure.
For the massive devastation and catastrophic loss of life caused by this Hurricane Matthew.
Matthew is Haiti, Florida.
These are areas where I live
in Macon,
Georgia.
Oh, wow.
So I see Georgia, and it's still churning up the coast, 75 miles an hour.
Wow. Okay, thank you, Barbara. Let's all come before the Lord and pray for that. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. Father, we do pray for comfort and peace, protection, safety, especially, Lord, people who've lost not just stuff, but lives, Lord, of people and loved ones. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort them only, as only you can, Father. We do pray, Father, for Haiti, just a lot of devastation, it seems like, every so often. And so we just pray, Father, for the peace of Haiti. And for Florida as well, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I get into the message, I'd like to do an appreciation, appreciation, our dear friend Ikuko Watanabe, who we call lovingly call Coco, is here. And I just want to say that when I first met Coco about 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, close to 5 years ago now, I gotta be honest, I was a little intimidated by her. She's a very strong woman. But as I got to know her, I found out that she was a woman of great integrity. At work, she'd be asked to compromise in certain areas, and she would never compromise. I learned that she was a very loving and hospitable woman. She was one of the first ones to invite... oh man, I'm getting all teary-eyed. I told myself I wasn't going to cry. But really, she invited us to Christmas parties. Let me get my bearings. She's always encouraging. And so let's give it up for Coco. Thank you so much, Coco, for being such a wonderful person and coming and visiting us. It's good to see you, Coco. Today's message is Jesus, the Light of the World, from John 8, 12 through 16. If you remember, as Jesus was teaching, there was an interruption of that teaching. A woman caught in adultery. Jesus handled that with as much tact and godliness as anyone could handle that situation. And the woman, people wanted to stone her, was set free. And set free not just from being stoned, capital punishment, but also set free from a lifestyle of sin. Set free from condemnation and sin. And in that context, Jesus goes back to his teaching. And he teaches... in verse 12 it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And if you remember the bigger context of this story, it's happening at the tail end of what's called the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. And what Sukkot was and is, it's a seven-day festival for the Jewish people, given by God as the Feast of the Lord. And what it was supposed to commemorate was the time they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And so during Sukkot, Feast of Tabernacles, also known as Feast of Booths and other names, they would leave their house, go to Jerusalem, and live in little tents. They would live in little tents. Because in the wilderness for 40 years, they didn't have a place to settle, and they would live in tents. And there was amazing things that happened, needless to say, in those 40 years. Manna, quail, etc., etc. But another supernatural crazy thing that happened during that time was God would show up in either a pillar of light or a pillar of cloud. And they would follow that pillar wherever it went. If the pillar stayed, they would stay. If it moved, they would go. And this pillar of fire was there during the night. and it gave light to all the people and comfort, I'm sure. In this context of celebrating this festival, and apparently during this festival, they would light candles so that at night there would be light, a lot of light, and they would have a festive time. They would dance and all these other things. And in this context, Jesus makes the claim, I am the light of the world. This is his second I am statement. If you remember, he says the first one, I am the bread of life. But for those of us who are familiar with the Bible, know the significance of the I am statement. It first appears when Moses asked God, God, what is your name? And God tells Moses, I am. And it's an I am with ellipses at the end. I am in an unfinished statement. And God tells him, Moses, tell the people I am, and I will fill that part later when you find out who I truly am. And Jesus comes and says, I am. And when he says that, I'm sure a lot of the Jewish people knew exactly what he was referencing to. And he says, I am the light of the world. That light during Sukkot, that light during the 40 years of wilderness, I am that. The light of the world implies more than just a claim to being a great teacher or someone who brings revelation. This is none other than Jesus himself claiming to be divine. He is not simply saying, I'm a great teacher who will give you light. He says, I am that light that you are seeking for. And Jesus claims two things that will happen to those who follow him. And no, he's talking about those who actually follow him. Not just those who know about it, but those who actually desire to follow Jesus. He says two things will happen. They will never walk in darkness, and they will have the light of life. They will never walk in darkness, and they will have the light of life.
Amen.
Now this is a pretty remarkable and incredible claim for anyone to say, to anyone to make. Never walk in darkness. Now just think of the implications of what that means. Never walk in darkness. And to have the light of life. Now, I just want to point out, in the kingdom of heaven, the economic system of the kingdom of heaven, the way things work in the kingdom of heaven is a little different than the way things work here. In fact, it's so different, it's oftentimes called an upside-down kingdom. Or rather, a right-side-up kingdom. We are probably the one living in an upside-down world right now. But in this upside-down world, the greatest achievements, trophies, accolades we could accomplish is through what? A lot of striving, right? Hard work, dedication, blood, sweat, tears. Those are the ways that we will achieve anything that means anything here in this kingdom. So for example, you know, you have great athletes that achieve the pinnacle of their career is when they achieve a championship. I think it's baseball right now. I don't know, is there any baseball guys? And so I don't even, the World Series, it's called the World Series. The World Series is right now. You know, there are a lot of great players. that actually never get to that point in their life, never achieve. It's football season, you know, anything, any athletic event, football, baseball, basketball. We'll throw golf in there because one of my friends here likes golf, but we'll throw that in as an athletic, but no. But all of these things, even school pursuits, degrees, I don't know, what's a higher than degrees, more degrees? More letters after your names. They don't just give that to you. That's my point. These things aren't just given. We have to work for them, and we understand that. We've lived that in our entire lives. But I just want to point that out to say that in the kingdom, this promise that Jesus gives about living in light, having the light of light, and never walking in darkness is free of charge. Absolutely free of charge. In fact, you can't do enough to earn what Jesus is offering. And what Jesus is offering is far greater than what any of us could ever achieve if we think about it. I gotta be honest with you. Last night, as I was trying to sleep, honestly, I was in darkness. Had a lot of self-doubt. I don't necessarily consider myself a very confident person to begin with, but I have enough, delusion to be a little bit confident, even though everyone else may say something else, I still have a little bit of that delusion in me to be like, I'm right. but last night was, for some reason, a little different. I was thinking, there is a possibility that I might be wrong. I'm not talking about faith in God. That's not what I was struggling with. But there was something I was struggling with. I won't share with you guys what it is, but I was really struggling with it. I was in darkness, losing sleep over it. And I'm sure you all know what it is to be in darkness. In fact, I'm sure you would not trade anything in your world, in the world, to have peace. The game, would you rather? Would you rather be a billionaire, but be on the brink of suicide because you can't trust family, friends, you have no friends, all your family turned against you, you have no peace, you're in fear constantly, and in the brink of suicide, would you rather be there? Or would you rather have nothing but have complete peace and love? Now, this is not what Jesus is asking, though. Fortunately, he's not asking you to give up your billions, as if we have billions. But whatever you do have, he's not asking you to give that up. But he is offering something that money cannot buy. Our striving cannot achieve or earn. He's simply saying, follow me, and you will have the light of life. Never walk in darkness. And again, that is what we experience here is but a shadow of the real thing that will be given to us on the other side of eternity. But even now, there is that possibility and invitation that Jesus is giving you and I into. That is free of charge. Did you know everything in the kingdom of God is free of charge? You cannot buy these things. You cannot earn these things. It is given, and we can't squander it. I have done that many times. Actually, I can't say many because, but I have done that
quite a few times, where God gave me such a grace in my life, and it's just unbelievable when you receive it. But if any of you know what I'm talking about, sometimes that's short-lived, right? Maybe a week. If we're lucky, a month, 3 months. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. What happened? The kingdom of God is you are given a gift. But that gift can be squandered, left, unattended to, smolder, squelched, snuffed out. It can't. But I do want to also say that these things that are offered to you are simply gifts. That Jesus gives without merit. Simply believe and ask. Here we see that the Pharisees challenged this. The Pharisees challenged him, saying, "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." See, whenever a great truth is given, there's always going to be some kind of opposition. Always. Even as I speak and tell you these things are free, there's always going to be some kind of opposition, whether it's in your own heart or something without, that's going to oppose this great truth. And the Pharisees, like, you know, you're being your own witness. And just to give you a little context, this statement is because in the Mosaic law, you need at least two witnesses to uphold anything in a court of law. You need at least two witnesses. However, I'm just going to point out these critics are not criticizing Jesus because they feel that he's not being integrous. He's not upholding the Mosaic law. They're posturing themselves in that manner, but their true intentions will be later found out in this chapter. In verse 40, if you have your Bibles, you could look there, or just you could believe me. I'm not making this up. But in verse 40, it says, we realize that these people were trying to find a way to kill Jesus. That's why they were questioning Jesus' integrity. They were trying to kill Jesus. Not just to quiet him down, they wanted him dead. Verse 44, Jesus also reveals something very interesting and controversial. At the same time, it says, "Your father is the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire." Now, that is a very strong statement, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Your father is the devil. They were saying stuff about Jesus' father. Jesus says, "Well, your father is the devil." Now, it's important. I want to make this clear. It's important to point out that when Jesus makes a statement of this magnitude, "Your father is the devil," he is not falling into the world system of smear campaign. I don't think that's what he's getting into. You know, we see that a lot these days, right? I mean, you open the news and it's smear campaign, Trump this, Clinton that, Kane this, Pence that. And it's hard to believe. It's hard to know what to believe and what not to believe, right? Because depending on your news source, it's going to be biased one way or another. You guys realize that, right? Okay, good. I'm not going to endorse a candidate here. Don't worry. I'm not endorsing anyone. What I am saying is the world, that's how they operate. I wish they would focus more on why to vote for me instead of don't vote for him because of this or don't vote for her because of that. You know, that's sort of how the world system operates. But Jesus, I just want to point out, that's not what Jesus is doing. He's not saying you should believe me because they're from the devil. Or he's not making a simple statement saying they're just being deceived, blind, and lost. They're evil in a metaphoric way, I guess. They are deceived, blind, and lost. And I don't know if I have time or the brain power to unpack all of this. He is saying, though, that in a sense, they are Luciferian. Now, this goes all the way back to antiquity. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Should I continue?
Yes.
Okay. Wow, I got a resounding yes from one. And a no, no. Okay, so you want to know. So what does it mean, Luciferian? Are they just simple devil worshippers? Well, in back in Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve fell, there was a curse that was placed on the earth. But there was also a promise of a seed that would come and redeem humanity. That seed we come to know is Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of that seed. But along with that seed, and for those of us who are familiar with Scripture, that seed and the Messiah is central to Scripture. In fact, the Scripture is written to sort of, there's that overtone of a Messiah that comes to redeem the world. And so all of Scripture, it points towards a seed, that the seed is the Messiah. And the overtone of Scripture is about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus here is claiming, I am the one that this book has been talking about for thousands of years. I am here. I am the light of the world. And that's his claim. The undertone of the Bible, though, throughout Scripture is another seed, because when God says to Adam and Eve, your seed will have enmity with the serpent's seed, and your seed, Eve, will crush the serpent's seed's head, and the serpent's seed's head will crush your heel. You guys, are you familiar with that? Some of you who are not familiar with the Bible, it's okay. You got to believe me, but it's in there. But that promise and statement is there. And so throughout the Scripture, there is an undertone of Satan seed that is trying to usurp the authority of Eve seed. The undertone. You see it throughout Scripture. And that's why it's important to realize when Scripture, it talks about sin, it's one thing. And sin is an overarching thing. But when it talks about wickedness and evil, although that's a part of sin, it is a different thing. Meaning, when you and I sin, it's missing the mark. And sometimes we've willfully missed the mark. However, wickedness and evil is a completely different thing throughout Scripture. It is not just simply willfully missing the mark and then being sorry for it. It's talking about another thing throughout Scripture. An attitude against God. An attitude of trying to destroy God, to crush God, to get rid of God, to be God. And as Christians, we've come to know that term in that person, in that spirit, as an antichrist. And so throughout Scripture, the undertone of an antichrist who continues to show itself. Oh, that looks like an antichrist. Sure it does. And it has the spirit of an antichrist, but it is not the antichrist. And so Christians, we believe that to a certain degree. That in the end, just like there was a Messiah that came to redeem, there will be manifestation and the fullness of an antichrist that would try to destroy humanity and destroy God. He's trying to destroy God, but he'll destroy humanity in the process because he knows that's what God loves. And so when Jesus is confronted by these leaders of the Jewish people. Now, we understand that not all the leaders of the Jewish system were Luciferian. There were people that were very sincere, and you see that in Scripture, saying, "We know you're from God." Nicodemus came to Jesus saying, "We know you're from God." But then there are other people within the leadership that were not simply insincere, but perhaps they knew he was from God and wanted to kill him because of they knew they were from, he was from God. Because if we kill him, then we will have the rights to this earth. Scripture even talks about that. If they knew that if they killed Jesus, that he would redeem the earth in that way, they would have never killed Jesus. Scripture reveals that. Okay. Are you guys still there? Are we jiving? No? Man, this guy is crazy. I knew he was kind of off, but now I know he's really crazy. But I'm being biblical. If you believe in a God, there is a Satan. If you believe there are people that are very sincere and loving and filled with the Spirit of God throughout Scripture, and if you believe that the Messiah is God's Son, the opposite, the other side of that is also true, that there are people that are spirit filled with the Antichrist spirit that are not just insincere people, but evil people throughout Scripture. And that there will be one day a manifestation of that. And you got to believe, if that is true, now I'm saying if for those who are speculative, if that is true, then there is an infrastructure being placed in place so that when he comes on the scene, it will be his system that's in place. Does that make sense? The infrastructure of Satan, even now, is being in place. That's why the elections are like this. No, I'm just kidding. Now he went off the deep end. No. The elections are pretty crazy. I'm just going to throw that out there. If anybody wants to make a prequel to The Hunger Games, I think this is already a great script. You know, you don't have to make anything up. Just kidding. Hunger Games? No? Nobody? All right. I must have said that in Russian. Sometimes I do that. It was funny in English. No, just kidding. But gosh, I lost my place. But when he says, Jesus reveals their father is the devil and they want to carry out their father's desire again. My point in making that, saying all of that, is saying that Jesus is not simply smear campaigning, and there are Luciferian groups, that are in place in the highest power and the highest places, already developing the infrastructure. And thank God, because of God's grace, a lot of times that is slowed down, but there's going to be a time when God's grace is removed and the Antichrist is going to have his way for a period of time. That's what the Bible teaches. Even now, we see little rumblings of that throughout the world. And the rumblings will only intensify as we get closer to the end. That is all to say that with that undertone, it is simply an undertone. The overtone is that Jesus is the light of the world. That is the good news. And that is what I want to focus on. I know what the darkness that I just pointed out, if it's new and novel, it may be the most in-your-face thing right now. But what should be What we should be beholding isn't the darkness necessarily, but the light that Jesus is claiming to be and to claiming to offer to you and I. Finishing off 14, Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going." Jesus is questioned about his testimony, but Jesus clearly points out, even if, that's a big word, even if it was just me, it would be valid. But that "even if" suggests there are others that testified about this, right? And if you are familiar with your Bibles, John the Baptist testified about this. Even in this gospel, John testifies about Jesus. In the other gospels, the wise men testify about this. Anna the prophetess testifies about this. Simeon the prophet testifies about this. This is all in the book of Luke. The shepherds in the field testifies about this. Jesus is not the only one testifying. So what the Pharisees bring out is actually a lie, flat out. If you just do enough vetting, you'll find out there are several other people, valid people that were known to be prophets, testified about Jesus. Not just the echo chamber of the Jewish people, but even outside of the Jewish people, there were astrologers that testified about this. And that's amazing if you think about that. But Jesus makes the claim, "I know where I came from and I know where I'm going." He's not talking about his earthly origin or destination. He's talking about coming from the right hand of God. "My testimony is valid because I know where I come from and I know where I'm going." Returning to that place. And ending with, "You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my decisions are true because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me." It's important to realize our own standard of judgment. Jesus is saying, the reason why you are so blind and causing all this confusion for people who are just aren't sure, is he's criticizing their standard of judgment. That's an important thing. What is your standard of judgment? When it comes to judgment, what is your standard of judgment? Jesus' standard of judgment, he makes the claim that it is based on what God has said and what God is saying. It may surprise some of us to know that our standard of judgment could be based on, and what Jesus was criticizing was the Luciferians. He was. He says, "Your father is the devil, and you judge by his standards." What is our standard of judgment? Is it what God is saying? Going back to the story prior to this one, when you saw the woman come in, caught in the middle of adultery, ruining lives, doing something that's outlandish. How would you have judged? Were you there with the stones, ready to stone the woman? Let me tell you, that wasn't God's standard of judgment. Isn't that interesting? It would almost seem the opposite, you know, especially the way Christians are portrayed in the media. It would almost seem the opposite. The way Christians are depicted in the news. Jesus saw and knew everything. He actually knows more than you and I knew, and still did not want to stone her. And set her free. Again, the difference between sin and evil. There's a difference, I think. I might be wrong. I am sometimes delusional. I'm wrong, so I just don't know when I'm wrong, right? We just don't know when we're wrong. You know, even though I might be wrong. But I do think there is a distinction. And it's hard for us, using human standards, to judge correctly. It does take us to realize what it means when Jesus says, "Follow me. I am the light of the world." You want correct judgment? Follow me. I am the light of the world. You want to be found and never struggle with being lost? Follow me. I am the light of the world. You want to escape fear, anxiety, depression? Follow me. I am the light of the world. Let us pray. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Father, I ask right now that those of us here who are struggling with darkness, that you would give us this gift of life. Lord, there's nothing I could do to earn such a gift. There's nothing, Lord, that I could give. I just ask, Lord, that you would begin to bring your light, even now, to those who desire to know what it is, who are hungry and curious. Father, I pray right now for those who are struggling with hopelessness, young or old, those who are struggling with hopelessness, Father, would you please show them through the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. Even those who are struggling with debilitating fears and anxieties, set them free with the light of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, even those who are struggling with so much anxiety that is causing ulcers, stomach aches, stomach pains, I pray, Lord, that you would show them through your Son the light of life, Lord. No more darkness. Darkness, we command you to leave right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.